Brethren, can we commit ourselves finally today to the hearing of God's word? Of course, pastor will teach, and you know, we need understanding to pray. You cannot just open your mouth and pray. Understanding is what makes your prayer effective. So let's commit ourselves to the hearing of the word this evening and say, Lord, this evening again, give me understanding. Give me understanding. Give me understanding. Trust me, there are prayers you've been praying. When understanding comes, you just shut up. And there are prayers that, you know, understanding would make you more effective in that prayer, in that matter. So just pray and say, Lord, this evening, even as your word comes, my heart is open to receive understanding. I receive understanding. I receive insight into your word. I receive understanding into your word. Give me understanding this evening. Oh, give me understanding this evening. Father, we thank you. Once again, Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful. We have a Father who cares. Yes, we do. Lord, again, your people have come. And our hearts are open to receiving your word this evening. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't ask me. Excitement just entered my soul about 15 minutes ago. And I'm sure it's a good thing. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All
right, let's take our declaration of understanding. It's our school of prayer. You are welcoming. Welcome, somebody. Say, welcome to prayer.
Welcome to prayer.
Welcome to the school of prayer. Turn to somebody and say, welcome to prayer. Welcome to the school of prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, before we, it's a school, so we always learn. All right? And we practice, we learn, we put what we are learning into practice. We've been praying for about 30 minutes, you know, to start. We are going to continue praying, but first of all, let's do some instructions in righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
And let's activate the spirit of understanding. One, two, let's go. Now I declare.
Now I declare
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord and pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Let's take our seats quickly. Now, Paul said, I don't box as one box in the air. And it's very important to understand that when you're boxing, you have to know who your opponent is and which direction he's coming from. Some people are ahead, we're angry that we're studying Satan. I said, are people okay? We're studying Satan. Anyway, you know, a lot of people, they just like to talk. If they have not spoken against the tide, they don't feel important. You know people like that? Yeah, you know, if they've not spoken against the tide, they don't feel important. Jesus said to us clearly, of course, through his servants and from his own mouth, we have many expressions. We're not unaware of what? The devices of the devil. So you see, if you are unaware, you are at a disadvantage.
Yes, sir.
And many of those who say, why are you studying Satan? They don't even know. They don't know they have yielded their tongue to the Satan to work for. They don't know that. It's important you learn so that when you are boxing, you know what exactly you are doing. It's important you learn so that you don't pray wrongly. Many of us pray wrongly. It's important you learn so that you don't exercise your spiritual energy needlessly on something that is futile. God said, why do you spend your strength for that which is not bread? Why do you spend your energy for that which does not satisfy? What does that tell you? People are spending their energy for things that won't bring any positive thing into their lives. Many times people are praying and God said, that is not your problem. Why are you praying like this? You know, the other day I told you, I heard of a demonic experience somebody was having. They were just telling me about the fellow's life. I said, that's a demonic experience. And the person telling me said, I know. That actually God opened my eyes and I saw the spirit. And I said to the person, please don't cast out that spirit. Why did I say so? Of course, people I was talking to, they understood. They said, yes, we won't do that. Why? Because we know that if you do, it's going to get worse. Until you have put certain things in place, you have talked to the fellow directly. Because there are family people praying. you have brought the right person, maybe his wife, into the picture. And you know that if you drive out this spirit, you have to build a very strong hedge around him so that it doesn't come back with seven spirits more wicked. That is what insight does for you. It helps you know how to use your spiritual energy. I hope you're getting my point. Why am I saying all of these things? Because in time, many times in life, in times like this, people don't even know what this life is about. They don't know what their trials are about. They don't know what, you know, they are supposed to achieve. Sometimes somebody is hungry. And God, he doesn't understand that. God says, let me see what hunger will bring out of you. So you're going to be hungry for the next 48 hours. So he starts praying for the end of hunger instead of praying for strength to endure. So after the first 12 hours, hunger doesn't go, food doesn't come. He starts getting discouraged. Why? Hope that is deferred does what? Makes the heart sick or faint. So he's spending energy on what God is not trying to achieve. By the second day, he's getting discouraged. 36 hours into the hunger session, he decides to go and steal and eat. Let's just take it from Job's side. God will have lost the bet in his life. But you know, the same person, if only he understood that it is not the ability to get food that's being tested, but the ability to endure, you'll be amazed at how he will endure 72 hours of hunger. 72 hours, the fellow will be hungry. That is why I keep on telling preachers, stop preaching results. Preach faith. Preach endurance. Preach patience. Preach divine character. Leave the results out. Nothing will be added. That's what Jesus said. Seek first the things that are most important. And these other things will be added. Listen to a preacher. He was talking about how important money. See, I believe in talking about money also. But there was something. There was a kind of emphasis he laid on money. I had to warn my children because I plan to give them the messages. Beautiful messages on some other issues. I said, please, when you get to this area, just leave this man of God alone. Let him not focus you on money. It is important Christians understand, all right, we must understand that it's more important to God we can endure poverty than our faith can produce money. Yes. What we call results, we don't even know what the result is about. People say, no, as a Christian, you must have results to show. Let me tell you the real result of Christianity. That they put a gun to your head and you said, no, I will not bow. They put you before the fiery furnace, you said, no, I will not bow. I've seen people take the scriptures and reinterpret them. That you see, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before, they started reading. The literal Hebrew says, even if you will not, that they were saying, the Lord our God is able to deliver us. And so they held on to the fact that God was going to deliver them. And they never changed their confession. I said, it's not true. I've read that thing again and again. If I was studying one the other day, I had to quickly put a note down in my house. When Nebuchadnezzar was going to pass his own commentary on it, he made it clear that these people were ready to die for their faith. That was what touched him. We are so occupied with the fact that they were not burnt. Listen to me, saints were burnt. Paul was beheaded from the story we know. Paul was beheaded. Stephen was stoned to death. Jesus died on the cross. John the Baptist was beheaded. None of the apostles of the Lamb, none apart from John the Beloved, died a natural death. That one, we don't even know whether he died. But at least we're sure of one thing. Everyone that died, that we are aware of, died by persecution. They died violently. Some of them died in a manner you don't want to hear. Some were quartered, some were tied to this and driven around the city. As their heads were banging on the road, they died. Saul offered himself up. One brother was speaking once. The way we attacked him, we had to say he's sorry. He said, the problem with Stephen was that Stephen went and said, into thy hand I commit my spirit. He should not have said so. He should have held his spirit. He should have held on tight. I'm not going anywhere. He will have survived. I told him, I said, you know your problem? No, my brethren. Look, the guy said, I'm sorry. I said, you better be sorry. I said, you know your problem? You are too earthly minded. We told him, I said, our brother, earthly mindedness is your problem. No, we told him, he didn't take offense. I said, you're earthly minded. Oh, you're thinking of his motor car, fine house. I said, if you see what Stephen saw, you will not only commit your spirit into his hands, you will commit your body into his hands, commit your soul, and look for your wife and children, and commit them too. I said, what is wrong with you? Because you think in this world, you have hope only. That is one problem with Christianity of today. We preach hope primarily in this world. Brother told me once, he was going to relocate abroad. And like I say, I don't have a problem with it. Piloting relocated to Nigeria. I hope you know that's abroad. If it's not your home country, is that not abroad? Me talking, didn't I relocate? Was I born in Biafra? I was not born in Eastern Nigeria. I hardly came to Eastern Nigeria until I was a married man. Only one experience when I was a student. Am I not here now? So you can move. Depends. Abraham was called from his father's house into a land God will show him. True of us? Thank you. So nobody's angry about that. But there must be why. Why did Abraham leave? God called him. Why did Banky leave and come here? God called him. One of our sisters sent me a message. I didn't even know how to reply, so I've not replied her. Now, because we are talking about it, let me tell you about it. She said, good evening, sir. Thank you for being a blessing to the Eastern region. I could not help but wonder when I read these verses. After what they brought me, she was quoting from Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 1, 2, and 4. Afterward, he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple by way of the gate which faces toward the east. So when she read it, she thought about me and sent me a message. Say, thank you for being a blessing to the eastern region. Oh, she said, we carry the glory of God towards the east. How are you getting my point? Sent me a message yesterday. 2 days ago, actually. So, you hear a call. So, there's a reason why you move. So, I'm not saying that there's something totally wrong with moving. Just know why. You can never run looking for food. If you do that, you have become the tail. You are no longer the head. That's what I say to people. So, I asked the brother that day. I said, so what's going on? What's informing this? He said, I just believe that in this life, I must get the best. And my soul felt bad. In this life, what about the life hereafter? What about the life that is to come? What about having to give account for what you did with this life? You will never give account of what I got in this life. Never. You will give an account of what I did for God in this life. With the talents, the minas he gave to me. And like many ministers will say, you were sent by God. And I'm not the only one saying it. Many ministers have said it. Miles Monroe said it. Mike Mudock said it. You know, I know I've preached it. I've read it from Kenneth Hagin. I've heard it from different people. It's all about scripture. You were sent by God to a people, to a place with a message, with an assignment. It's not everywhere that's your place. It's not. It's not every message that you're supposed to preach that's yours. It's not every assignment, the job that's yours to do. It's not everybody that's going to be a full-time, in quotes, preacher. That is like being mostly a preacher. Some people are going to go out there, they'll be businessmen. Some are going to go out there, their major job in life is to raise a family. They ask Pat Robertson's wife, their 50th anniversary. She had been married for 50 years. I said, what do you have to show? What did you do with your life? He said, I raised 4 men. What are you living for this earth? He said, the men that I raised. What she was telling us is, look at the boys that I raised. That's what God gave me life for. Yeah, that's what she'll say. I like one thing about Pastor Joseph when he was head of state. That's civilian president. You notice the way he is, humorous. Because that time a lot of his men that he appointed, and women of course, just his work, they were getting awards here and there. The accolade was all over the world. Dora Akunyili went to South Korea to go and collect Transparency International. Was it South Korea? Anyway, she went somewhere. Transparency International gave her an award. Banker of the Year, Charles Soludo. They were picking it here and there. And he bragged about it. Now me give them job. Yeah, he bragged about it. And we know he empowered them. He stood behind them. And without the power that he was behind them, they couldn't have achieved any of those things. Do you know how many people wanted the CBN governor thrown out? But you couldn't tell the president. How many people were tired of the DG, or the, was that her title? DG? Yeah, of NAFDAC, Dora. You couldn't do anything. They wanted to kill the woman. They ambushed her somewhere near Nsukka and rained her vehicle with bullets. And one bullet passed through her scarf. They were not joking. But the big boss stood solidly behind her. He took on the big, powerful men who were behind certain dealings. So the man knew that he deserved the glory, humanly speaking. That without me, they can do nothing. I hope you're getting my point. You know the way our country is. I remember that time, then our current national security advisor. Yeah, no rebadu. Then he was EFCC boss. They said, all this one you are doing, are you not afraid? He said, afraid of who? The president is behind me. He said, afraid of who? He said, he said it openly. He said, when the president is behind you, who will you not be afraid of? The man went everywhere, crossed everybody. He didn't care who he offended. When they asked him, you are not afraid. He said, afraid of who now? When the president is behind me. Then let me not mention names. There was one very powerful Nigerian politician. Very, very powerful. Who we heard later was the one that got him the job. He was the one that nominated him for that office. But this man fell out with the president. No rebuttal being a force man. He was a policeman. He knew order. He knew discipline. He walked over to the man. He said, sir, it was nice knowing you. We thank God for what you did in my life. But sir, you don't turn your back against where the power lies. I just want to let you know, my allegiance is to the president. He said it. You know who I'm talking about. Said it to the man to his face. He explained, you know, see, many of us need to join police and join soldiers, army for some time. Pastor Corey and I were talking the other day. We said, those of you who missed his teaching yesterday in the Sokoto Ministers Forum yesterday, please go and listen to it. It should be online. I shared the links. He and I talking before that Christians have to realize that, man, na soldier will be. We are in the military. We have to learn to behave. And he preached so seriously about that matter, that yesterday. Why am I talking about it? Our president, I'm just talking about him. So he gave his people the support, so they became who they became. In the same manner, there are mothers. There are people that God said, what you will do for me? You just raise this generation. You know, when I heard the story of, what's his name? The British man, revival man, Methodist man. John Wesley. You know, he had the brother, Charles Wesley. All their mother did was raise those boys. Not just two. They wrote thousands of songs. This woman taught them to be men of God. If you're going around life, you think it's title they used to remember you in this life? You think it's title? And listen, let me just tell you something. This earth is not very long. If you live long. Okay, let's ask you, you'll be the world's longest living person, and then you do 120. You will now die. 120 is not enough time to brush teeth spiritually. They're just waking up in hell. You are getting my point? You can't sacrifice eternity for something as temporal as a life that will not, in all likelihood, you wouldn't do 120. This 120 where I say you are going to be asleep at least a significant portion of the time. You know that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we live with eternity in view? Why don't we live knowing that one day we are going to give account for what we did with this life? So I told the brother that day, what are you doing? He said that, I believe I have to get the best. I said, no. I said, this is where you and I are different. I believe I have to output now. These are not the words I use for him. That is what I told him, that I believe I have to give the best, all right? But for the purpose of today's teaching, I was saying to him, I believe I have to output everything that God has placed inside me. God has given me a gift of writing materials, you know. I write sermons, I write books and all of that. And one prayer I prayed to him recently, Lord, let me not depart from this earth without writing all the books you have written for me to copy. Because all I'm doing is copying his books. Yes? Was I teaching recently? Our School of Knowledge, Understanding and Wisdom, SKUWI. And then, of course, we were here recording yesterday. I was telling the guys that I have not ministered like this in a very long time. It's not the like the anointing is so heavy. No, it's a pattern. This is where I'm going line by line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. And I'm going, I said, this is not typical of me. Like, since I started now, I've not opened my any note. I've not opened anything. I've just started talking. That one, no. You say, I have my notes. I'm explaining the fundamental doctrines of Christianity. I don't know how many we have done. We have done quite a bit. You know, it goes to a point. I just realized, I said, hey, wait, oh. Well, my plan, of course, I don't know how it's going to go, is that that thing is going to be a few hundreds. If it is so small, 200 episodes, possibly up to 300. I'm just going to continue teaching and teaching and teaching because I just want Christians to know. So my prayer to God is that let there be none, nothing I was supposed to say, a doctrine I'm supposed to explain to people that I took away and I didn't. That's the attitude. Some people think that you are giving faith to enjoy life. So if life is not enjoying, I hope you're getting my point. If life is not being, you know what I mean, it's not sweetening you, you are missing out. I heard something recently. One of our brothers told me, he says, people do what they call fear of missing out. You know, they call fear of missing out. FOMO. You've not heard it before. All these Gen Z, they have all kinds of crazy things they discuss on all their fora. There are those who maybe at the age of 35, see the man pack his bag. Where is he going? Say, I'm going to Antarctica. So he said, what your papa lost for Antarctica? Where you won't go collect for your children? He said, nothing. No. So why are you going there? Very soon, I'm going to be 50. I don't want to be that I did not go to Antarctica while I was young. So you are looking like, excuse me, I need to get this right. The only reason why you are going to Antarctica is that let it not be that you didn't go to Antarctica. And people do that a lot. People say things like, so you go through this life, you will not even tell them you too, you went to Europe. And people would, and for some people, it's an important issue. If you are talking like that, honestly, you're crazy. You're not normal. One of the men I admire the most, when you know, in ministry, there are people you admire. You know you will not be as I like anybody, but you don't mind being like them. You get my point. One of them for me is Kennedy Hagin. Why? I like the, I call his own kind of ministry, the leaven ministry, the yeast ministry that leavens the whole dough, just gently. When he was on earth, most people, unbelievers did not know he existed. Most Christians had never heard his name. But do you know what? You may not know him personally, but you know one of the men he trained. You will know somebody he influenced. Bishop Oyedepo still goes around bragging on how God took the mantle from Kenny Hagin and put on his head. Some people are looking at Bishop and say, oh God, that mantle, maybe you collected one, the original one I may collect. Yeah, in different parts of the world, people are bragging. Who was it the other day that I think was, is it Reverend E? Pastor Adeboye? Oh, I think he's the one. I think it's Pastor Adeboye. He said that one day they went to the United States. They went for camp meeting. So they tried their best to get to see him. They said but anyway, he prevailed and they gave him the opportunity. And to him, he was like, what is wrong with people? So he went with the love of Nigerians. So you have a few minutes with Pastor Hagin. People wanted him to sign their book. They wanted to take a picture with him. He's looking at them, a lot of you, all right. He just went to him and said, whatever it is that God has given you, that gave you this kind of utterance, can I have it? So he knelt down. And he said, what everybody asked for, Papa Hagin gave. And dismissed them. Him, he got up, put two hands on his head, and prayed for him. That's Pastor Yadiboye. I hope you're getting my point here. Now, you know what I'm saying of these things? I'm not aware the man went to more than three countries his whole life. One of those three being the United States. He went to Canada, I think, ahead of that. I know, because I saw the meeting video. It was in South Africa, in Macaulay's church. Never came to Nigeria. I'm not aware he went to any other African country. I'm not aware he went to Europe. He may have gone. I'm just saying that I don't know. Okay? But he was not known for junketing around. I see a lot of preachers who can jump from one place. Now, if jumping around is your ministry, God bless you. All right? I'm not saying it's evil. All right? But sometimes I see some ministers. I said, this thing you are doing is not ministry. You like to travel. Are you not aware of that? Some people, they just like, you know, they are restless in their body, so not use ministry to be deceiving us. And if you are the type that like to run around, let me just warn you. All this run around here for one day, run around here for one day, it's not the way it is. Go and see when Paul used to move around, when he moves 2 years. So just be careful. Use your own adventurous spirit. your game might be jumping up and down. Well, I don't know. Some people say, I passed it because you don't like to jump up and down. But you got my point. My point is that don't use your natural inclination to do ministry. Kenny Hagin affected everywhere. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going with the whole thing. He said, how can it be that he went through this earth? He did not go to Europe. I can go through this earth and not go to Europe. You, have you gone to Kilimanjaro? You that's making all the noise. You don't go to Kilimanjaro. Have you been to, what's the name of your wife's village? I know it's Udi. Which part of Udi? Eh? Amokwe Udi. Have you been there? Have you sat down under the tree? Have you watched natural, you know, Atilogu dancing? Have you drank pine wine during a wedding? Things we have done and you have not done. Have you eaten ugba in the village? Things you have not done. One day I went to Ozala. I chopped abacha until I was wondering where I was parking. My wife was looking at me like, man of God, what is going on here? Meanwhile, my brother Kingsley was his house. That's our attorney general here. It was his house. It was pastor. Anything. You go and bring more. Just keep bringing. I chopped that day. I was looking for where I kept it. It was Christmas time. Where have you fought? Have you been there? I want to go to Italy. People that have not been to Udi want to go to Italy. What's wrong with them? I saw one man come one day. He said, was praying to God for open door. Praying to God for open door. Then I told him to come to Cameroon. He said, God, that's not what I'm asking for. I said, look at human beings. Then I said, you should go to France. He said, yes. Hallelujah. God is open. I said, so, you are not normal. You are not. You, Satan will deceive you. Cameroon is not open door. What is in France? Oyoshi. Oh, you think Cameroon is open window? People are looking for money there. Listen, my friend, you can go through life and not go to Europe. After all, Moses not even entered the promised land. So what's your own problem? I don't even want to go there. Anyway, let me not stay on that matter. Some people just make some funny things the object of their lives. They're not thinking of eternity at all. Let me tell you something. If touring this whole world will prevent me from writing one book, I don't want to go. No, let's assume. No, just think about it for a moment. That when Paul was supposed to write the book of Ephesians, he was resting in Cape Town. See the way your wife provokes. Say, I beg you. Say, Apostle Paul, may you not rest in Jesus' name. Yeah, that's the kind of thing. Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, it sounds more when I say, like, if touring the world would prevent me from writing one book, one. See, God has blessed me in this life, all right? I've been blessed, all right? Up to now. A lot of blessings. I look at blessed around me. This morning, I still saw the pile of clothes that's, you know, our brother, you know, they loaned that for us, sealed it in bags and all of that. I'm just sitting there, just thanking God that, so God, you have so arranged so that I don't have to worry about how my clothes are cleaned. There was a time I had to worry about it, but now I don't have to worry about it. You know, some brothers just came and said, no, let's handle this for you. Sometimes I just look at it. I want to do this. People just handle it for me. People just handle this for me. You know what I always think about? I said, God will ask me to pay. Yes. He will say, bank you. Wait. You didn't have to worry about washing your clothes. I said, no. So where's the book? Where is the book you wrote now when you were supposed to wash clothes? Your wife was supposed to travel. You didn't have to take her by yourself. One brother took your car and took her there and brought her back the following day. Said, good. So I saved you 2 days, right? Where is the sermon? Where is the sermon? Where is the sermon? When I was going to university, I know how my father would drive to Benin, take me to campus and all of that. My son is in university. He has not been to his school once. This man carried him up and down. Any problem, he's there. So God says, see the headache your father went through. You have not gone through it. Where is the sermon? Where is the sermon? You think I save you time so you can cross leg and be picking teeth? No, I save you time so you can be productive. I saved you time. Not so you can be. No, when I see what Christians make the purpose of their life, sometimes I look at them and say, are you crazy? The way we turn holiday, you know, this holiday thing, you know, it's not an African thing. It's not even Jewish. Those of us who are at least from Eastern Nigeria, we are Jewish, Jews. So we. If you are not a Jew, you are not a Jew. But you were a Jew before you gave your life to Christ. Is that not what now the God has been telling us? I went to one church one day. The man of God, big man, if I mention the name, you fall down. Somebody, they came to sell CDs on how to carry Jews back to what they call the Aliyah. So they were selling it in Eastern Nigeria. He told all them to buy. He said, I know where I'm coming from. I know where I'm going. And I was a guest minister in the church. I was looking at the man and said, Oga, what did he just say? But I couldn't tell him. So it's not even a Jewish thing. So where did you not learn it from? Because you watch too many movies. You need to go for a holiday. Listen, let me just add this one before I finish what I'm trying to say. There are things you are not allowed to make a prayer point. You are not allowed to save for. You are not allowed to use important money to do. One of them is this running up and down if you want to go on holiday. That's one of them. Is it wrong? No. But it has to be what? Change. Things you don't think about. Money you spend without calculating. I've seen people who paid for tickets to carry children abroad. 6 months later, they are still paying. They are still paying. It's not allowed. Those are not things they're supposed to do. They're not that important. That's what I'm going to make. This earth is temporary. Know what is important in life. That's what I'm saying. So Christians, please, please. You know, people have told me things like, you shouldn't have more than 2 children. I say, why not? I say, you know, now if you have to take them abroad. In my mind, you must really, really not value human beings. Yeah, you have little value for human beings. Because why would you say, if God wants to bless you with one extra person in your life, you will say so that we can flange. You know what I call flanging?
Yes,
we can take life, you know, just chop life. I don't want an extra person. Human beings are so valuable. If God says to the banker, what you will do for me is trek around. I'll give you 2 more children. I'll give away the cars. I say, yeah, children, come. Because human beings are much more valuable than material things. They are much more valuable. And people told me this. That no, the reason why you have to have 2 children, or 2.5 at most, is... So if you want to go on holiday, you have to go, you know. This is your father in heaven that's so poor. He can't afford it. To me, you know, we have such a warped value system. Very warped value system. Earthly mindedness is worrying us. Please, let's drop those things. I told the brother that day, I said, my friend, this life you were sent to go and do something. Me, I want to make sure I do what I was supposed to do. Everything I've been given in life is to help me do what I'm supposed to do and enjoy my life in that process. But the purpose is first. I'll be getting my point. If God says, go from here, to Makodi as an example. Going is number one. But if he says I'm determined to go, you can say, instead of going on a motorbike, give him a car that's air conditioned. But going must be what? Number one. I can't say, I was supposed to go to Makodi. The only means of transportation to Makodi is a keke. The air conditioned cars here, they are going to Port Harcourt. Let's just go to Port Harcourt. It sounds crazy, but that's what we do every day, we Christians. The road here is not good. Let's go to where the road is good. You've not asked yourself, where is the road leading to? Do you travel a road because of the quality or because of the destination? You are going to Makodi, you say the road is very bad, and it's very bad. So what do we do? The road to Abakaliki is good. So we enter that one, drive, and get to Abakaliki. Have you now reached Makodi? Is it not because of destination you choose a road? Is it because of the quality? But these people are choosing roads for their lives because of quality, not because of destination. One day this life will come to an end, you look back and say, what did I do with it? What was I supposed to do with it? And you have nothing to say. Apart from saying the fact that, man, I drove around this life. Praise God. I drove around this life in a Rolls Royce. Where did you go to? You drove Rolls Royce? Yeah, I was in a Bentley all through and through. Where did you go? You cannot tell us the destination. You're just telling us where you went, how you went. But to where, you don't know. And many Christians are living life like that now. Where are they going? They don't know. They just know they are where they are is comfortable. The vehicle God has given them in life is comfortable. There's no power interruption. There's nothing wrong with the place. What are you using it for? Didn't you know that he said, occupy with this until I come? And when he came, he said, now the money I gave you, the stuff I gave you, show me what it produced. Thank God, you know, many times there's been power issues recently, you know, but God has been faithful. We have power most of the time in my house. A lot of times, the public power is there. You can use your AC and all that. Sleep well. I always tell myself, so now you have slept well. For what purpose? Now you have slept well. What is the purpose? Did you sleep well so you can wake well? And you woke well so you can sleep well? And you slept well so you can wake well? No, you slept well so you can be productive in an area of life. People are taking the things of this life and they can't tell them, what am I producing with it? You think God is not checking? One day will come and uproot you. Why? You've used too much space and you're not producing any fruit. And many of us, God, that's what God looks and say, I don't need watch. I will still uproot you. The way you're going, uprooting is your portion. I better get up and repent and say, all this is that God is giving me. And you know, forget what he's giving me. What I'm looking for. What am I looking for it? For what purpose? I'm being sincere about it. And when I say, not to yourself, but to God. That God, because your heart can deceive you. You see, people say that I'm looking for money so I can give. God said, did I call you to give? I hope you know there's a calling called giving. I had a discussion recently. People say there's nothing like that. There's something like that. I didn't have time to argue with people. I've made my point. If you like, believe. If you like, don't believe it. There is he that giveth. God didn't call you to give. You are looking for money. All of us are supposed to be generous, just like all of us should be able to share the gospel. But there are some people, their job is to make sure the gospel has money. And even then, if those of us who are preaching, do we go around town looking for what to preach? We will go into our homes and go and study. And what to preach will come out. It's grace. If you have that grace, it will show. When you focus on the word of God and the work God has given you, grace will be poured upon it. It will produce abundance. So a lot of people go around deceiving themselves because we want to give to the gospel. And they do give, but a way of bribing God. Say, God, we don't do plenty. We have moved around, so we've made a million naira. So take your cut. Don't be angry. So God will feel like he got his portion. You know, like I keep on saying, we treat God like a mafia don. I mean, you do anything wrong, just make sure the mafia don gets his cut. How much was it? 500,000. Everything is a million. So done. Don't clear accuse you. That's yours. 500 for you, 500 for me. And done says, shall be well with you. But God is not like that. So many people are like that. They just want to. The reason why they are giving is so that they can continue what they are doing. But that's not what we are talking about. There are people that they are truly called to give, I know. But you're not called there. What is your obsession with money? And if you know, listen, if you are called to give, let me tell you one of the ways you will know. Let me tell you truth. I've had opportunities in this, my life, that's clashed with my preaching. Preaching. When Kingdom of God started those days, my wife will tell you, to miss, Ned, I didn't have people who will preach for me if I'm not around. Now I have all these men, powerful men of God. Powerful. See them. So if I'm not around, I just point to you. And then they will preach. And then if I've been serving rice and beans, at least they will bring egg and guanguan. Add to it. It's called balanced diet. But there was nothing like that. Ask my wife. The kind of things I used to do. One day we were in local convention. Local convention will cross Saturday. We end on Sunday. I sat, we agonized. What will you do? Do you know, I didn't do it. I was going to drive from Benin to Enugu, preach 5 p.m. to 6:30. Then 7 a.m. next morning, be on my way back. I was going to do it. And I did such things many times. As the day my auntie was being buried, as we entered church in the morning, as they were leading this thing, I whispered to my mom. I was in my car. From my hometown to Enugu, non-stop driving, then was 6 hours. If you don't stop, you drive for 6 hours to get to Enugu. And that was before the days of everywhere is a checkpoint, you know. The roads were not so bad, you know, they were okay. But the one from there to Benin was okay. You would drive 6 hours. By 5, I was in Enugu, ready to preach. I was watching Bishop Odeko the other day. I think I was listening to him. I went to Winners for some time when I was in Lagos. I used to think Bishop Odeko didn't go anywhere. So I'll be surprised when I get some messages, priest in London. I say, when did he go? Because all the days, months, and possibly a few years I went there, was only one Sunday that was not in church. Only one. I still remember the man who preached. I still remember how he closed the message today. I never went on a Tuesday, Bishop was not in church. I never went on a Thursday and Bishop was not in church. I was wondering, he never goes anywhere. And I found out that no, he made it a duty. Wherever he goes, he's back for service. That's why God will give some men private jets. Your private jet is so you can take selfie and put on Instagram. Because that one, I don't need to give you that one. Just go and Photoshop yourself into the plenty that's online. For some people, they need that. One of our brothers said in their church in Abuja, Bishop was supposed to come and preach. And then finally, the last moment, he called Bishop Abioye, was in Abuja then. I think he's in Abuja, right? But he called Abioye, he said, please, can you tell that church, the church that was inviting him, please, can you go and represent me, apologize to them that I can't come. Bishop Abioye looked at him and said, oh, God, that won't be good. That this guy, that's the pastor of the church, he hardly asks for anything. All he ever does is give. That is just one thing he's asking for. Say, Papa, whatever you have to do, please come. Whoa. The brother was telling me, Bishop flew straight to Abuja, landed, told the pilot, keep the engine running. Car was waiting for him. Straight to the pulpit, preached for 45 minutes, entered the car, back to the airport. Nobody in Lagos knew he went anywhere. The whole leave Lagos, to go to Abuja, preach. It didn't cost more than 3.5 hours. Was back in Lagos. That's why he needs a private jet. All those of you, it's because you are not going anywhere. I listened to my dog the other day. He said something. He was talking about traps of poverty. He says the second trap of poverty is resentment. And I looked in my life, God, did I resent anybody that's prospered? I said, if there is, please, God, take it away. He said, many people, why they will never. He said, this is how I know you will never prosper. If I see your attitude towards those who have prospered. He said, if it is negative, I know God can't give you anything. He said, look, I drive a Rolls Royce. He said, do you know I have to hire people to guard my car when I park it? Why? Because they have something they do abroad. You know, they have a lot of crazy people there. They call it keying. They just go and key your car. What do you mean by key? They just go drive, just walk past it and scratch it with a key. For no reason than it's a Rolls Royce. They don't know you. They didn't offend their father. They didn't offend their mother. They didn't offend their ancestors. They don't know you. When he said this, I said, I know now. You see, sometimes Dangote truck will have an accident. They will burn it. I said, go and check. Nobody who burnt one will ever own anything in this life. Go and tell your village boys, you will never own one. You don't get it. You burn that vehicle because anytime you think of Dangote, you think of an oppressor. He has never taken 50 kobo from you. He doesn't know. He doesn't care. But if you die tomorrow, he will not mix a meal. He will not rejoice. He won't buy ice cream because you died. He doesn't know you. Yet anytime you see a struck person, how can only him be a billionaire like this? Evil spirit of poverty will possess your soul. I'm telling you. I like when I heard my brother say that, I said, well, this is so true. So he calls it the trap of resentment. People are just angry with the rich over nothing. They don't know you. You know, some people actually say some things, and when you look at them, I say, God, your brain must be rotten. Because, you see, brain is soft normally. When it can't rot on top, pap. Some people are going and they shake their head, as their brain is splashing up and down. They will tell you that, did you know that Dangote is the reason why railway is not working in Nigeria? That trains are not working. I said, why? He said, because of his trucks. I said, why are you this incredibly stupid? Like they say, how stupid can a human being be and still survive? You don't understand that having to run those trucks is a headache for him. But for no reason, you caught up poverty-stricken people will gather. And instead of you to pray to God, say, God, the way you bless these people, you will bless me too. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. That's what you should be saying. That's a small aside. So next time you see a rich man, I don't care who he is, you see a fine car passing, give him space. Sow a seed into his life. When he wants to turn, wait for him, let him turn. Wave to the guy. Wave to him. You don't know the guy, but you are showing to God, a good God. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. How did I get to that issue of resentment? Bishop Oedipo, thank you. Some people are just angry. Why should the man of God be flying private jet? There are a number of things you've said here. One, you didn't say, why should my servant be flying private jet? What did you say? Why should a man who belongs to God be flying a jet that belongs to him privately. Have you noticed that none of this is your business? He's not you. He's not your servant. You are not his God. And the money is not your own. And you are there discussing it in the house. I don't understand what's going on in this country. And I'm looking at him like, I agree with you. You don't understand what is going on. So shut up. When Bishop bought his first jet those days, I went to office. Hey, your bishop has used your money to buy a private jet. I said, it is my money. How is it your business? That's what I told the lady. I said, I'm happy you said it's my money. And now you are now having a headache. Swallowing paracetamol on my headache. How is it your problem? Say he doesn't need it. I said, how do you? In fact, one day we're having a discussion in Lagos. I'll get to my message in a moment too. You are not going anywhere today because I'm in the spirit. Are you getting my point? So I'm telling you the truth. That day they were discussing how much should he buy a car. I still remember that guy. He's a big man in Nigeria now, at least in the medical circles. I looked at him. We had an argument. He said, there are poor people. I said, oh, Judas, they have come. This is what Judas says all the time. There are poor people. I told him, I said, meanwhile, that guy just bought a flat boot, Mercedes-Benz that time. I said, my brother, you bought a Mercedes-Benz. Used, I know. But so there are no poor people when you were buying that one. No, don't even go there. Why shouldn't I go there? So one man then, I like military men. You know, they behave differently. See, I was a senior military officer. He was talking. So I said, he was a Navy commander. So I said, commander, please. You said he doesn't need it. He said he doesn't need it. I said, commander, give me a summary of his itinerary from one Sunday to the next Sunday. That's why I dared him. I said, give me a summary of his itinerary from one Sunday to the next Sunday. He looked at me and paused. He said, I don't know. I said, so you cannot judge his need. He said, I guess you are right. That's why I said, no. I said, these military people, they behave differently. He said, I guess you are right. After that, he was silent. The other one, bloody civilian, he was talking. He was arguing. But the military man, as I just gave that to him, he said, I guess you are right. I was a Navy commander. I said, listen, leave the money. I said, it's not your money. I was in a church once. They were raising 100 million. Not win another church in Lagos. I gave them 500. 500 naira, my friend. Why would I say 100,000? That time I couldn't spare 500,000 without making a mistake. I gave them 500 and left. Somebody said, why? I said, it's them God spoke to raise 100 million. Me, what I have is this one, 500. I put an envelope like everybody wrote on it, signed on it, stamped it, and dropped it, and left. If God spoke to you, the rest go balance. Don't worry. But I wasn't angry with them. What do they want to do with it? It doesn't concern me. Where I'm going with all of this, you see, sometimes God give, I just give that as an example. Some of those men, I remember Rabbi Zacharias in his days, a man who I love, listen to his message, it's beautiful. He said he spent most of his days, 2/3 of his life was spent flying. 2/3. Do you get my point? He said 2/3 of his breathing life, he was on a plane. If such a man is flying the economy, let me be honest with you, he will die and God won't bat an eyelid. Why did I die early? He said, you are too stupid. One day, they said, two men of God, they met at the train station before cars and all of that and all these airplanes came into vogue. The people used to move around America by trains. So they met at the train station. Just like in planes now, you have first class, you have business, and you have economy. Those ones, they used to have a sleeping coach, and then they have the normal sit up straight and manage your life coach, you know? So when the train arrived, one man of God went straight to the sleeping coach, first class. The other one went to the economy coach. So as they were heading, they looked at each other. The one going to the poor people's area said, I'm taking care of the Lord's money. The other one said, I'm taking care of the Lord's servant. Yes. You take care of the Lord's money. I have to take care of the Lord's servant. I'm going to preach. I will sit up like this. When I get there and nothing does not flow, you won't know why. The man said, me, I'm going to, because the other one, you will stretch. Throughout the journey, you'll be asleep, lying down. It costs much, much more money. The other one, you sit up straight. When you get there, if you don't pray specially, you may have deep vein thrombosis and die at the train station on the other side. I'm telling you. Why does God give such abundance? He gives it, it's his money, it's not mine. If I want to travel up and down, listen, to fly first class is expensive. Very, very expensive. And I don't fly first class, I don't. Do you know why? God has not brought the faith and the money. Two of them you need. Sometimes you have the money, you don't have the faith. You look and say, yeah! This money can give Okebu the permanent site. That's what you'll be thinking. You go look and say, this money, if I spend it at home, my wife will know I'm your original husband. When you're sitting like that, don't worry. Go to where your faith can carry. Just go. Go there. Don't do. But when you see people who are doing it, leave them. They have the faith. I hope you're getting my point. They have the faith. So what I'm going to say is that I don't do it because I know, man, in case you don't know, where normal flight is $1,500. If you are doing first class, it's $6,000. Ding, okay. Fainting, man. He's about to faint. Where he's losing his breath. He did not know. Why did he call up us at not on first class? Oh, it costs money. And by the way, when God blesses you, and I beg, try use business class at least. You know, that's last election. They were saying that, Fito B flies economy. One of my friends in America, he said, if I catch him there, I will kick him out. Of course, all of us, we're all deceiving ourselves. You know, election period, all of us lie. All of us, like the man didn't use to fly. Listen, I have videos to show you. The man did not use to fly economy. He with his own mouth said, I only fly first class. Politicians, let's leave that side first. If you want, come, I'll show you the video. The man said, going to London, I fly first class. Said it 10 years ago. But my friend said, listen. He said, he saw him. He was supporting him. He said, if I catch him in the economy, I'll be kicking him out. Because the truth is that the airlines don't make money from economy, especially international. They use the economy to fuel the plane. If all of us flew economy, they will shut down. They need those who fly business and first class to keep them afloat. They use the economy people to fuel the plane so that they won't go empty. So I tell myself, I'm not the poorest person on this earth. When God brings the money, fly business class. And if you are doing long distance, please fly business class. If you have the money, you will live long like that too. Don't worry, I'm still flying economy now. It's just I'm activating my faith. Once the faith, whether I came on the hospital site or not, doesn't concern me. I'm going to go to where I'm going. The Lord is good. Now, but why am I saying all of these things? God gives us these things for a purpose. And in my life, I've looked at it. I have power most times. If there's no public power, we have backup and all of that. I ask myself, why? Why? For me, the reason is, there are scriptures that describe your life. I will give them pastors after my heart, who will feed them with knowledge and with understanding. So God said, I can give you any comfort, don't worry, but let me see the results. Feed my people. You know, that was an instruction he gave Peter. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Take care of them with instruction. And that is why what I do in my life matters. God can't give me the opportunity. I see preachers sometimes, if you listen to be very, very careful. You must do everything, not only how you live. Paul said it, sorry, what you say. Paul said that you know how I would live with you. Look, he said, follow my conduct. He told Timothy, you saw how I live my life. Just follow it. Sometimes I look at the way preachers do. I say, your life is teaching a wrong thing. Life of unbelief. Like that man who was speaking the other day, he said he talked to Nigerian big preachers. No, I can't have my children in this country. I'll say it again. Nigeria has only had one problem. And that's the irresponsibility of the church. Thus says the Lord. If you want this nation, I will give you. You know, I've been saying that thing again and again. There are few people that really want it. And for those who really want it, God will give to them. If he give to them, he will give to their children. You can't be a preacher and be telling somebody, I can't have my child in this country. You tell them that my God, like I was telling my wife, that this brother, his God is the God of the mountains. His God is not the God of the valley. But this brother is anointed. When he preaches like this, whoa, when you hear the kind of things that God says through him, you'll be moved by, with the faith. Then when he calls him and says, didn't work, okay. God has not spoken to you to leave and go to Port Harcourt. Then, okay, you are still in Port Harcourt. God has not spoken to you to move and go to Europe. You are still in Nigeria. God has not spoken to you to move and go to North America. Better go and pray. Let God speak to you. They will be describing his life. Thank God, all this kidnapping thing now. Thank God he heard God and quickly ran away from Nigeria 20 years ago. So I said to my wife, I said, his God is a God of the mountains. He's not a God of the valleys. You know the story I'm talking about? It was when Israel went to fight. After they finished defeating their enemies says, because we fought them on the mountains, let's come back next time. This time we'll fight in the valleys. Their God is the God of the mountains. So they went and pitched their tents this time around in the valleys. And our God showed them that he's a God of the mountain, the God of the valley, the God of the ocean, the God of the deep. If you like, go to the moon. He's a God in the moon. If God wants to run some astronauts mental, the day you land on Mars, he will put two angels there to be picking their teeth when you arrive. Welcome from Earth. You will look like this and pass out. He's a God everywhere. So if you are living your life, you have to live your life like your God is a God everywhere. Why this long talk? For Christians to be eternity minded. That's why. That we must be what? Eternity minded. And like I said, the first thing I said, that you must know what's going on. You must know what is going on. That means what I wanted to preach. You must know what is going on. First of all, I have 4 points I wrote down. One, life is by faith. When I say by faith, I don't mean that we walk by faith. It's scriptural, it's correct. But we receive life by faith. What did I say? We receive life by faith. If you go to read that Habakkuk chapter 2, for time's sake, don't bother opening it. I'll read that for you. He said, but as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Now, that is in opposition to dying. He wasn't saying the righteous shall walk by faith. He said, the way the righteous will get life from is the activity of his faith. So that when everybody is being destroyed, what will keep the righteous is his faith. The righteous shall acquire life by his faith. I taught in that book, By Faith Acquire Life. Okay, we don't have any hard copies, but it's on our website. By Faith Acquire Life. The righteous receives life by faith. The righteous receives life by faith. That is where people are dying. What will keep the righteous alive is his faith. Where people are failing, what will keep the righteous standing and succeeding is faith. When people are having confusion, what will give the righteous man a sound mind is what? His faith. That's number one. Don't ever forget it. You know, I started by saying that let's know what we are boxing towards. Let's know what our enemy, who our enemy is, and what are his strategies. Now, you know the interesting thing? Satan knows this. I hope you know that. He knows much more than most Christians. All unbelievers. The only people that know something more than Satan are people who follow the Lord. But a lot of them still don't know a lot of stuff. Satan knows that. You see, he's been around. You know, he saw you build ships, build airplanes. He flew on some of them. He knows it's nothing. He knows. Your best jets. I was told, I've not personally verified, that in the resurrection life, you move by your thoughts. Let's go to Abakiliki. We just think about Abakiliki, and we are in Abakiliki. So no matter how much technology you have, it will not impress anybody working with the resurrection body. So you are doing Hyperloop. Hyperloop can move you from Enugu to Lagos in making no noise in just 1.5 hours. Or even less. The resurrection man is wondering, like, 1.5 hours. When I blink, I'm there. If you don't know, go and ask Philip. He finished baptizing. He was late for the next meeting in Azotus. I can imagine Philip was hurrying. He said, we should be there. He's supposed to start ministering by 5 o'clock. This is Tupac Enoch. He's still asking questions at 4:30. I said, relax. So by 4:45, the man says, here is water. What stops me from being baptized? And Philip says, no problem, as long as you believe. He said, oh, I do. So they came down. By the time they finished baptism, it was 5 o'clock. It was supposed to administer when? 5. As they came out of the water, the Ethiopian eunuch looked and Philip was gone. Say, sorry, I got a meeting. By the time Philip opened his eyes, he was sitting in front in Kingdom World Ministries, about to be introduced. Say, man of God, when did you come? We didn't see you enter. I'm here now. Don't worry about that. We'll talk about that later. You know, I heard this happen to one man of God. Because I didn't personally verify, these stories have been around, so I won't mention the name. But one of these big men of those days in Nigeria, he was supposed to minister, maybe, let's use Onitsha as an example. Start by 6 in Enugu. He was still here ministering by 5:45. He kept on preaching. When he finished preaching, he came out of the hall. Sorry, guys, I have to go. As he took the Bible, they say, open the door to come out of here. If you ever saw the movie Adjustment Bureau, something like that, the door he opened here was the same door leading to the hall in Onitsha. So as he opened the door, he stepped out of this hall into the hall in Onitsha. So you see all the technology they are doing on the earth, it does not impress spiritual people. Those who have seen things in the spirit, they say, okay, so your plane can move from New York all the way to London in 5 hours. Say 5 hours of a lifetime. I like to travel slowly. Here we blink and we are there. So Satan has other things he's pursuing. He does not want you to ever experience the resurrection life. He does not want you to ever experience the resurrection body. He knows where you will go. He will give you a Bentley if that's what it will take to deny you of your inheritance. He will give you the whole world. He said to Jesus, bow to me, I'll give you everything. Look from the left to the right. Anything you see, I have worked for it. It's been delivered unto me. I give you now. All you need to do is bow. And he's a good businessman. Whatever he's trying to get from you has more value than what he's giving to you. What am I going to say? So he doesn't have time for the things you think he has time for. What is he pursuing? The attack of Satan is always against our faith. Our life is by what? Faith. Everything we are getting from God is by what? Faith. Grace is activated by what? Every promise of God is activated by what? How do we get saved? By grace you have been saved. Through what? Faith. It's all faith. So Satan does not want you to have life. He goes after what? Your faith. Listen, there's no situation out there that's bigger than the life of the person that has faith. For him that believes, what is impossible? What's impossible? What's impossible? Nothing. That is assuming there's something we're supposed to do here, supposed to cost us $10,000. And we started thinking about it when it was 700 naira to the dollar. Now we are ready. We need $10,000. We want to go and buy. They say it's now 1,005. You know what the Bible says? If we're walking by faith, it makes no difference. How much you are selling the dollar is irrelevant. If we want 10,000, we'll get 10,000. Nothing will be impossible. Let me tell you why Satan keeps pushing news to you, and that's why you have to be careful what you hear. You know, I said to you before, I don't believe that God cannot undo the past. He can. But it's very difficult for him because of our faith. Because once we have experience about the past, our faith disappears and God can't move again. So they tempted God in the wilderness and did what? Limited the Holy One of Israel. If we could look beyond that which we have seen, close our eyes and say, Father, in the name of Jesus. I've learned to do that thing. I've learned to pray about things that have passed. That one, I learned. You can tell me that this brother traveled yesterday through a dangerous area. We have not heard from him. I will pray for him now. He traveled yesterday. If he's supposed to be dead because of danger, he should be dead already. If he's supposed to have arrived, he should have arrived already. And I'm hearing 24 hours after he had traveled. I will bow my head and start praying as if he's about to start. Thank God I've not heard anything. So my faith is still intact. Father, as brother A is moving, I ask you in the name of Jesus, keep him, protect him. This is what you said in your word. Your angels will watch over him as the mountains surround Jerusalem. So does the Lord surround his people. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. He will give your angels charge concerning him. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, Father God, fulfill this. I will pray as if he's about to start the journey. I do that. Why? Because I know my God can change the past. What is past is only past to you. To him, everything is in front of him. This is the past on the left. This is the present in front. This is the future on my right. Okay, rearrange. Okay, okay. He did that yesterday. He didn't die again. Leave it. So that is why Satan doesn't have time for your money. He's attacking only one thing, your faith. So he came to God the Father and began to intercede. If I may use that word, actually accuse. Intercede is the opposite. He began to accuse, and Jesus heard about it. So Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, he says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission." That's the correct word. "Has demanded permission to sift you all." It wasn't Peter. "To sift you all like wheat. I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail." Now, wait, excuse me. Can you see what is going on here? The whole attack is about what?
Faith.
It's all about faith. Jesus said, "I have prayed for you." So people, you know, when I see all the news, God has been very good to me. I tell you, it's been very, very, very good. All the news has been going on. This has happened. Look, I have not been moved. I have refused to be moved. I have said I would not be moved. Because the whole aim is to undermine my faith. Do you know, I heard of one young man, I don't know him personally, one of our brothers gave me the gist. Election was coming up. You know, let me tell you something about Nigeria and prophets. Now, please, don't be angry with me about it. I know some of you were in Labour Party the last election. So what I want to say, you may not like it, but I'll still say it. Number one reason why the Labour, let me not mention this, Labour Party man has so much support across the country. Forget that. He had one reason. You know the reason? He was the only Christian amongst the four leading candidates. You can disagree with me. It had nothing to do with his competence or otherwise. Some people supported him for tribal reasons, I know. But I know people all over the country who they are not from here and they voted for him and all of that. But I looked at all of them. Number one reason. You know the reason? Go and check. There were four leading candidates. Only one claimed to be a Christian. The rest were either Muslims or Muslims or Muslim. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes.
Now you see where I'm going. So even our prophets, they began to prophesy. Thus says the Lord, a Christian shall be president. Those of you who know me, you know I was here. I was just looking at all of them. So look at these ignorant Moses. I could see they were prophesying by the flesh. It was clear. God couldn't talk to them. Because a Muslim would not rule this country. God said, okay, we prophesy. Maybe election will come up. It will go. The Lord of now go reserve prophecy, you know, go reverse in our prophecy that time. Now, let me, there's a reason why I'm telling you that story. You see where I'm going. Before that time, before the main election, when APC was, before they did their primaries, see prophecy, we were seeing Yemi Osinbajo as a man of God, who God has sent. Oh, prophets were prophesying. As I, you know that I know what I'm saying. The moment that one faced the primaries, they look for another Christian, they change the prophets. I was looking at all of them. Now, let me be honest with you. Personally, I liked Prof. I liked him. I mean, everybody liked him. At least most people did. I liked him too. And really, I think I was hoping he would win the primaries in APC. But it didn't really bother me. If he like win. So one brother, this is what I'm telling the story. He had heard prophecy. If I be a man of God, this is the one God has chosen. What have I not heard? Ah, that man in here don't collect prophecy for this country. People have prophesied on why he won and did not see it. And why did he win? I've heard all kinds of prophecies. One man of God, his own, I like his own. When he finished, he came back and said, "I'm sorry, I was prophesying by the flesh." I said, "Oh God, God will bless you. We knew, but we're happy now you know." I'm going to tell you the story. One brother, once Yemi Osinbajo lost primaries, he packed his bag, his wife, and his children, and he left the country. That's what I'm telling the story. When I heard it, I said, "Did that really happen?" They said it happened though. You hinge your destiny on one man becoming president. Are you normal? I don't think so. You cannot be normal. No, you are not normal. Anyway, let's leave you. Let's talk about Satan. know what Satan did? He just undermined his faith by hooking his faith on the wrong horse. He put his faith on the wrong cart. He put his faith on the wrong train. So when that train derailed, his faith also did what? Derailed. Me, I didn't, you know, the fight I had with people is like, hey, you're not so. I said, me. You know who I voted for? Those of you know, you know. I said, you know, I have a problem historically. If I think you are the one that will win, if I vote for you, I've lost. So even if I wanted to win, I vote for your opponent. But that, this time, when I just look for somebody who was very far away from winning, I voted for the person so that I can say I didn't vote for anybody. I wouldn't have voted, seriously, honestly. I would have done like Pastor E. Adeboye. I would have stayed in my house. But that would, again, I have to lead by example. And I've taught people to please go and vote. So it would be wrong of me not to go. So my wife, me, and my son, we all went to go and vote that day. All right? We had different polling units, but we all went to go and vote. Because it's right. But I just look at what I do. So I look, I didn't know the man who I voted for. We drew the day before. I finished voting. When I came out, they said, the man is no longer, but his logo is there now. They said, the man don't withdraw. He don't withdraw, endorse Labour Party. I didn't know. So I voted for him. So I in a girl, he'll be this mogul. They still counted my vote anyway. Now, why am I telling this story? I saw people hang their faith on one person. Do you know this man packed his wife and children and left Nigeria because one man did not win primary so. Because he felt this is a man of God. You know what Satan just did to him? Undermined his faith. Now, that's what he didn't get. He thought it was about the country. He thought it was about prosperity. No, it was about faith. Satan took faith away from him. He took faith away from him. Personally, I put my faith so strongly in God. I've missed it so many times when it comes to presidential election that I knew that God knows they talk to me in that area. I'm not Sadu Salvaraj. And I saw there was one particular prophet, God spoke to him. He told God, what you are saying, I don't like it. And once you tell God that, you start hearing all kinds of things. So he came out and said, God said this to me. God said, I never said anything like that to him. Banky, you know he's lying. I said, Lord, I know. He was there, prophesying. I told my wife, God didn't speak to this man. See, that was why God could kill Balaam. Because when Balaam said, God said I should go, God said, me, say go. It's because he did not stop, he didn't listen when I told him not to go. Some prophets, God spoke to them last time. They heard God clearly. The person I'm talking about, he went and denied what God said to him, even though people quoted it for him. He said, that's not what I meant. I told my wife, he's confused. Please read my book, Let Us Agree. I told Christian, stop these things. You will undermine your faith. Do you know there are people till now, they are hoping the country will go bad. Yes. Just so they can say, we were right. I see them every day. They just want the country to scatter. They want this country to go, you know, upside down. So they can say they were right. You know why? Now listen to me. Satan took their faith away. That's why I warned that time. We are playing with our faith. I begged everybody, just go out there, vote for the candidate of your choice. Pray for him, hoping he will win. But don't hang your faith on anybody. So that if the president loses, your faith is still intact. I say before God, my own faith is intact. Because I refuse to put faith in anybody. Because this is about faith. Oh. Faith is real. Dollar, God said, leave that thing. How much dollar do you want? 50,000. Ask for it now. That's what God says. So when Satan is attacking, that's the point I'm making. He's attacking only one thing, which is what? He came to Job. He came to God. God said, have you considered my servant Job? God said, yes. Satan said, yes, I have. Do you want any of his wives? Was that the discussion? Do you want any of his children? You want his money? What will I do? Spend which money? But I want his faith. So the argument, the fight was on the faith of who? Job. Will he deny me or he wouldn't deny me? You see, I pray you understand what God is doing in your life in the midst of circumstances and trials. I pray you will understand it. Because those who don't understand it, we've seen Job say, I command that building not to collapse. Sorry, you know, there are jokes you see, you can't help but repeat them. When Nigeria was playing AFCON semifinals, and they awarded a penalty in the last few minutes against Nigeria, Nigeria was leading 1-0. So South Africa was not supposed to play a penalty, which they ended up collecting, equalizing it. Somebody shared the video. I had a good laugh. Nigerians gathered. I paralyzed the leg. That goal will not enter. And they were speaking in tongues. I paralyzed your leg. You missed that goal. What to me was the joke of that whole thing. These people were prophesying. Hands on the television, though. Hey, Karabash, you miss it. Be confused. We blind you. The Lord is good. So I'm just imagining that Job is shouting her. You know, if he understood that this was not the aim is not really about winning a match. The whole aim is how will you react if you lost? Do you get my point? If he knew that, what do you think he would spend his energy on? He would spend energy trying to understand what life is without these goods. What life is like without these children. What will happen to them after now? He will spend his energy saying, God, in you I have believed. I will never go anywhere else. You are my God. There is no other God. Which other God can I believe in when they don't even exist? They are all. He will be confessing his faith. When they come to him, he say, sir, everything is lost. He will continue confessing the faith. Why? Because he will have understood that this is not about my goods or about my family or about the things around me. It's about what? My faith. What am I saying? For Christians, I'm saying to you by the Spirit, this season is about your faith. God is watching out for those who will lose their destiny. Those who will lose the place of appointment like Demas. You know, people say things like this. How long do you think it will take for a young man to build a house in this country? And I want to say to you, who told you the young man needs to build one? How does that count in eternity? No, that's how I answer such things. Who told, you know, I told you, me, I don't have time for praying some kind of prayer. Let me pray for you. Father, in this land. No, I'll first let you know. Say, bro, we can be tenants till we die. Nothing bad will happen. Let's first settle that one first. You know, we're not serving God because of what he's going to give us on this earth. Look, the truth is that, you know, say, so you see, you multiply till you leave that thing. Until the last day, there's no reward yet. You saw, see, last year, you gave God 10,000 naira. This year, he has given you 1 million, and you believe that thing. I hope you know it's not true. Say, so your seed multiplied. Didn't multiply anything. You're getting confused. Leave that thing. You gave out 10,000 naira. Thank God for it. You gave it out, you have given it out. Leave it like that. If you want 1 million, ask for 1 million. I don't have time for calculating. God, what I want, I will ask you for if I feel I need it. And there are things I ask God for, I don't even need it. I just want it. You know, this kind of wants. Just want to want it. So what are you going to do with it? Nothing. I just want to look at it. You know, there are things that God does for you, and he doesn't want you to do anything with it. When they multiply fish for Peter, what did he do with it? Nothing. From now on, you'll be catching men. He said, you go and store the fish, put it in a cold room. We'll be using this one to eat in the ministry. Just made a point to him and they kept on walking. The attack is always about what? The attack is always about what? So anytime you see something, check your faith first. Check it first. And when I call faith, it's not, am I so sure God will do it? That's not faith. That is not what faith is. Faith is, I'm irrevocably committed to serving Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I said? What is faith? Say it again, please. When you finish typing, you say your own. All of you, have you finished writing? Some people are busy writing. Even Damien and his wife, they were writing. He was writing for the two of you. Are you done now? Now, what is faith? Thank you. That's what faith is. Faith is, no matter what comes my way, my life is in your hands. Faith is, though he slays me, yet I will trust him. Faith is, hear, O Israel, The Lord thy God is one. What is faith? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That is what faith is. What is faith? I will never change my mind. Faith is not that I asked him for something and he gave it to me. That's not what faith is. You know my children. You know them here. They are calling me daddy. It has nothing to do with what I give to them. I hope you're getting my point. It has nothing to do with what I give to them. Why am I daddy? Because I'm daddy. That's what I am. That's all. Don't add any other explanation. I am daddy. You cannot say, this your shirt is fine. Who bought it for you? Daddy. Oh, I like this your shoes. Who bought it for you? Daddy. Have you paid your school fees? Yes. Who gave it to you? Daddy. Now, these are things that are what? Added. They don't define the relationship. Faith simply means I know who I believed. Faith means that I'm not changing my mind about it. Even though he slays me, yet I will. Now, Job said, I will trust him. That word trust him as faith. Even though he slays me, yet I will have faith in him. I hope you're getting my point. Even though Nebuchadnezzar throws me into the fire, I will not stop following him. That is what faith is. It is not faith to say Nebuchadnezzar, I declare. Your fire is going down. The fire doesn't always go down. Because that's not what faith is. As I'm walking into this fire, I call upon the fourth man. 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 Now I'll go and burn in peace. What's your problem? Are you the first to burn for the gospel? People think that's what faith is. I walk into the fire. The fourth man is waiting for you. Yes, to escort you to heaven. What's your problem? They think that's what faith is. No, I bet that didn't say. You see, they did not change their confession. They said that even though you want to burn us, we will not bow. Even if you say you won't burn us, we will still not bow. Sorry, does that make sense to you? You want to burn us, we will not bow. If you say you won't burn us, we still not bow. I don't know the language you speak. That doesn't make sense to me. Our God is able to deliver us. There are three levels of faith. Let me quickly check something there. There's something there that I really want to check out. Because there are three levels of faith. Daniel 3. I want to show something to prove to people. Now look at verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, you know the story before that, okay? Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command. Read the next line for me if you have a New Living Translation, which is what I'm reading from. New Living Translation. New Living. They defied the king's command and they were what? They were willing to die. That was what happened. It was not that they maintained their confession. No. They were what? Willing to die. They were willing to die. I want you to understand there are different levels of faith. What is the first level? And I can't remember the details now. The way I atomized it before. But let me see whether I can get it. The highest level of faith is what I want to tell you. The first level of faith is our Lord. Yes, I now remember it. This is the first level of faith. The Lord our God is what? Able to deliver us. Knowing God's ability is the first level of faith. Next thing they said, and he will deliver us. Trusting that he will do something in your life, that his ability will be executed in your direction is what? The second level of faith. The highest level of faith is even if he does not, we will still not bow. Eternal commitment to God no matter what happens. That's the highest level of faith. Yeah, that's how I broke it down. They said to him, King, we will not be careful to answer you in this matter. They said, the Lord our God is able to deliver us. That's verse 17. No, verse 16. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. That's level one, to save us. Number two, he will save us. He will rescue us from your power. Number three, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. That's the highest level of faith. What is real faith? I've made up my mind to follow and I will not look back. That is why sometimes answers to prayers are delayed. God has to prove it. If every time every unbeliever asks for something, why won't he obey God if he gets it? No, think about it. Everything I ask God for, he gives it to me. Why would I disobey him? Why would I? One reason why there is delay is because God has to prove that faith. He has to prove that there's actually faith in your heart. And the only way to prove the real faith is when you don't get what you're asking for. Getting what you're asking for, you declare and you got it, is just level two. The highest level is that, so we pray, they didn't bring it to pass. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I like what the TDG said once. He said, what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? He pulled one man out. Said, this man, everything is going out for him. It's going well for him. Kids are in school. They are doing well. Money is coming. The house is doing well. Business is booming. So he's rejoicing in the Lord. So that's a conqueror. Said, look at this other man. Nothing is working. Money has not come. Business is not doing well. Children are home. They have not paid fees. He said, if this man can rejoice in the Lord, he's more than a conqueror. He's more than a conqueror. The highest level of faith is, even if he does not deliver us, we still will not bow. You must know that that is what the assault is upon. Is against faith. For that reason, every day, what are we doing? Defending our faith. That's it. I mean, why put yourself in jeopardy? Something I don't understand. Now, please, this is not a criticism of anybody. But I ask people sometimes. One of our brothers told me something. He was going to move from one country to another. And I asked him a simple question. I said, what about your children? Now, me, I like to, you know, I said, what about the children? He said, that is a real problem. Until he traveled, he didn't give me the solution. You are solving material problems. Then I told you the faith of your children, how about it? He said, that's a problem. And you didn't solve it. Yet you moved. Are you all right? Are you okay? Honestly, we behave, and that's a fact. We don't value the things we claim to value. I've seen women before that if you greet their husband, they will have high blood pressure. That's another woman. Let us assume his name is Brother Joe. You now go and meet Brother Joe, and you're a woman. No? Ah, Brother Joe, how have you been? The woman suddenly woke up. Husband, I think it's time to go. I'm talking to somebody, she'll squeeze herself between the person as if he didn't see the woman. Jealousy, 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 go kill them. They can jealous. If the phone rings, they don't snatch them to answer. Hello? It's a female voice. Who do you want to talk to? I want to talk to Apostle Joe. From where? Ah. The person is wondering that. I didn't say I called for an interview. I said I want to talk to somebody. Who is asking? Who is on the line? Ah. Interview. The husband has to snatch the phone. What is the problem now? If you see jealousy, they fear. Now, that's not my point, though. My point, give this same woman a visa. He will leave that man in Nigeria. He will leave that man there. All the women, you can have him. As long as I have America. You take my husband and give me visa. You take my husband and give me visa. You take my husband and give me visa. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Sometimes when you see people do some things, just wonder and say, eh? So these some things don't matter to you in life. You just want constant power. Use that faith to buy a generator now. No, if this constant power is so important, I can close my eye. I'll be buying this one. You know, this is always available in Eastern Nigeria. You know, There's something I like about living in Enugu. This forest scarcity is not our problem. It has never been, not in the last 18 years. What we have in Enugu is price scarcity. You know what I mean by that? When you go to Abuja, you go see queue. Queue go, sometimes you are in Abuja, you see queue. You go to drive, you go check kilometer 1, kilometer 2, kilometer 3, 1 queue. So I tell you, I was in Abuja some of those days. I tell the taxi driver, say, you guys, what's up with you guys? Why are you queuing up? There's no fuel. I said, how can there not be fuel? What we have in Enugu? You are, let me not be, abuse anybody here. You want to pay 180. We are paying 350 in Enugu. We're not those days. You don't know. Before this thing went up, we never used to have problems. How we used to know that there's scarcity or not in Enugu? And just go and check the meter. How much? If yesterday you bought at 180, you come this morning, they say it's 250. You know there's scarcity in Nigeria, not here. You come the following day, they tell you it's 400. You know the scarcity is bad. If they tell you, you come the following day, it's 500. Officially, it's 180. Then nobody in Abuja or Lagos is going anywhere again. But here in Enugu, we just keep moving up and down like nothing happened. You know what they used to do? They carry all their fuel and come and sell it to us here. And I love Enugu those days. Everybody was in the business. Let me not say more than those of you can calculate, you know what I'm saying. Because they are monitoring people that are supposed to monitor. And they monitored and ensured we always had fuel. We thank God for their lives. So I'm going to say, what are you talking about? Don't worry about it. Where I'm going with this whole talk is that if power was your problem, buy fuel and keep your generator on. God will help you. But you cannot claim some things that are important and you will not. I told the brother, what he said there, that's the problem. Until he didn't tell me the solution he had put in place. Why am I saying this? When you go to God a lot of times and you behave like that, you know what he said to him? Sir, my faith is not important. Do you know many people will easily change location, even within the country, without checking, is there a good church where I'm going? Move his salary up, double it. We easily go somewhere else. He won't ask, what kind of churches do they have there? Few people, I'm not saying nobody, few people will ever relocate their family to get closer to a particular church. Told about one brother, he came to Enugu. Why did he come? His reason was that he needed to spend, 2 years or so listening to me. He finished NYC and ran to town. He didn't have where to stay. He went to stay in NYC family house. His mates were looking for work so they can hammer. He came to Enugu. I used to look at him like a monitoring spirit. You know, there are people that behave like monitoring spirits. You know, look at what are they looking for? Because anywhere I turn, I see him. I come for Bible studies, only sitting here. The guy would not agree to sit here or here. He only sat in front. He wanted to be as close as possible to the anointing. So if they mistakenly announce that I'm preaching somewhere in this Enugu territory, he gets there ahead of me. One day I went to preach somewhere. I got there. I saw this monitoring spirit in front in a church that's not kingdom world. I'll be honest with you. I said, this guy is a stalker. It was the day I finally spoke with him and now understood. Sir, I left everything to come and listen to you. So he didn't have time to waste. So if you tell him, we're doing recording on Monday, he hears, he'll be there. He said, pastor is preaching in this church. Yeah. Reverend Dam is doing his program. It's today. Pastor is his guest minister. He's there. Pastor will be on radio. He tunes in. Everywhere, this guy followed me around in Enugu. Make sure he attended every meeting until he says, sir, I'm done. It's time to leave town. And I prayed for him. Most of us lie. I'm not saying everybody. If you just start hearing the word after 2 days, Satan says, his faith is growing. So what do we do? Give him a job and transfer him to one place where he won't get the word. He just goes, oh boy, how now? Fine. Congratulations. What? He will have gone to report. Then 6 months later, he will now call us in Enugu. How are you doing? Is pastor still preaching? As if I'm supposed to stop preaching. Because one guy got a job. How are the brethren? Oh God, I miss Enugu. By the way, never tell me you miss me. It annoys me. Because most would have said it, They've spoiled it. One day, one brother told me, "Ah, sir, I've missed you. Where did you go?" "Nowhere. Me and you and this Enugu, you are missing me. You're a bloody fool. A bloody fool." You know what's a bloody fool? It's a coded language, a bloody fool. I looked at him. I told him, "My friend, will you get us from there?" I told him, like, "My friend, get away. How can me and you be in Enugu? You know where I am twice a week teaching the word of God. You are missing me." It's people of you that gave proverbs. They say, with friends like yours, who needs enemies? With friends like you, they say, "You miss me? Why should you be missing me when I'm in this Enugu? I'm here in this town. Come to where I am, you won't miss me." You know the truth, most of the time we show to God our faith doesn't matter. And Satan will say, "Wait, that one they go Bible study, they go regularly. Which time do they go?" "Tuesday, school of prayer, 5 o'clock. Tell the biggest client to be coming at 5. So the man will come. This is somebody who was doing turnover, 2 million a month before. One client will show. Anytime that guy comes, 3 million drops on the table. And the guy comes every week, except he only comes on Tuesdays at 4:30. He's bargaining for your faith. That's what I came to preach today. You have to know what they are bargaining for. What God expects you to say is, "Your business of that is good, but you have to come by 1 latest." Today, you know, it takes a few hours to attend to you. But the only day time, this is the only day I have time. Say, "Sir, this is the day I don't have time." In your mind, "I want to go and pray. I want to go and fellowship with the brethren. I want to go and hear the word." The man said, "Well, it's okay. If you think you can't do it, maybe somebody else will help me. May they help you in Jesus' name. But I'll be available on Wednesday. I'm available on Thursday. Just try and come in the morning. Don't come late in the day. I will be available to serve you anytime." And the guy takes his business and goes away. And as far as God is concerned, listen, let me put it like this. As far as you are concerned, you've done nothing. It's not like, "I know what I gave up to be able to go and hear the word of God." He didn't give up anything. It's money. You have not resisted sin to the shedding of blood. It's money. Don't be feeling super righteous. "I know God will bless me. As I came today, I left 5 million naira behind. Hallelujah." Shut up. You came to save your life. I hope you're getting my point. It's your life you are saving. It's not, it's your life. You came to save your life. You came to save your life. But you know what you have said to God? By that, you have said, "I'm selling what I have to buy this treasure of inestimable value. I'm selling what I have to take hold of life indeed." When it's time to take hold of life, Jesus will say to you, "Sell all you have and give to the poor. And come and follow me, and you will find eternal life." That's what he says. This is, I realized something. Please, parents, scheme for your children to learn the word. There are times they finish secondary school, say, "You are going to university. Let's write your school to defer this for a year. I want you to follow me to Bible study 3-4 times a week. Come and hear the word. Do 1 year of Rema. Then after that, I'll have the confidence to release you." Where your child will get to, they will still get there. Where they will get to, they will still get there. We have to learn to fight for this faith. Sometimes I'm trying to be nice. Let's tell ourselves the truth. I will say this to you categorically. You may not like it. Don't follow me again. But I will tell the truth to those who want to hear it. When your children are young, stop sending them far away from you into an environment. Say, let them go to school abroad. They are teenagers. Let them go to Covenant University. Let them go to all these fine. UNN is a good school. I hope you're getting my point. There are so many good schools. Babcock is there. Afe Babala is there. There are good schools all over this country. I'm just mentioning some of the big private ones. So if you don't like government schools, people say, "When you get to this school," say, "Glorify secondary school." Where they make them go to church? It's good.
It is good. What, you know, sometimes we behave, like I told you, some women will be so jealous and they carry their husband. You take my husband and give me a visa, I'm satisfied. They do it. Let me tell you something. You don't want children that smoke Igbo. One of the smartest teachers my wife has had, his problem is Igbo. You know what they call Igbo? Wee wee. No, Nigerian hemp, not the Indian one. Kwale hemp. Ondo, they grow good ones in Ondo too. Near Yinka's mother's place. And he said, Yinka behaving one kind sometimes. Ask him, did you go home? This guy is so good. You talk to him once, you know intelligence is talking. But know the problem? Wee wee. One day I was talking with him, came to speak with me, asked for advice and all of that. He said, tell me the truth, what's the issue? He said, I have cannabis-induced psychosis. Tell me, you don't want children that are smoking. Let me tell you, look, parents, carry your children. Carry a bottle of oil, big one. Say, kneel down here to this anointing against smoking. In the name of Jesus, you will never taste any substance in your life. That is, you finish praying, you go into prayer. You've not seen. No. I won't read certain things. Let it be that I did my part. Let it be that I've done my part. Let it be that I did my own part first. There's nowhere you're hurrying to. There's nowhere. Follow me to church first. Go and be sweeping church. Sleep there. Join prayer. Do what young people do. Pray. Then do choreography. Dance. Sing choir. Then run around the neighborhood. Then go back to church. I told my children, say, all of you, anything you want in your life, ask God for it. Then go and pay. What is, you know how I make them pay? You read. Which books are these? Yeah, give me the books you guys read. Ask War for God. Yes, they're talking about. I give them like 4 or 5 books. Everybody go and read. How to Walk for God. What they call it? By faith? No, not by faith. Like, what's the other one? Habit of faith. Living by divine wisdom. What are the other ones? Choices. Of course, choices. They memorized that one long before now. Which other one? Guided by the Spirit. Receive the Holy. Everybody take a pack and go and read. Otherwise, you won't make progress in this life. Yeah, no, seriously. It was a discussion. God won't move you anywhere until you have read the books. We fight for the faith. I say, parents, joke with it. My son is going to Harvard. What is in Harvard? Dangote went to Harvard. Did he tell you he went to Harvard? When your son finishes Harvard, it's not Dangote is going to look for work in his company. What is in Harvard? I ask your child now, oh, he's not your MIT. Praise God. Nonsense. The first thing they do, the first year he gets there, is to undermine his faith. One of the greatest schools in the world in that regard is Stanford. Or Robert says, the worst decision of my life to have sent my son to Stanford. I sent him a child that had faith. He got there, they took his faith away. Yeah, he regretted it till he died. He said they took his faith away. Says the worst decision of my life. Meanwhile, he sent the boy to Stanford because he could afford it. It was the best two school there. In case you don't know, Google came out of Stanford. They mint tech companies. They are far ahead of Harvard when it comes to tech. When they were done with the boy wasn't sure his God was not his father was not serving a false God. He wasn't sure. He didn't have faith anymore. And we behave as if we don't hear these stories. Go to school where they do mid-morning fellowship in the same class. You know what they say? No, faith is good for school. No, Christian activities is not allowed in campus. Brethren, let me tell you the truth. This is what I value. It's not about money. I like the fact that my son said, people will not finish school. Daddy, we are doing class fellowship. And they have moved their equipment aside. We have come again. Father, we have come again. Father, we have come again. Amen. Children of God. Eh? Children of God. Eh? Children of God. Eh? Will you shout hallelujah? Yes. Shout hallelujah to the Lord 5 times. Everybody. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
Amen.
This is the university classroom.
Yes.
To me, that's of greater value than the fact that you can give me their graduation date 5 years ahead. The most important date, I don't know it, when Jesus is coming back. So what is the big deal about the fact that you can give me graduation date? Let's show to God we value faith. That's what I'm saying. Because that's where the attack is. That's what the attack is against our faith. So when we win, it's because we won in the matter of faith. What did I say? No matter how much you gain, if you lose faith, you've lost everything. No matter how much you gain, if you lose faith, you have lost everything. So our victory is on the matter of faith. That's my point number 3. First, we live by what? Faith. The assault. Number 2, the assault is on faith. Number 3, victory is concerning faith. I won't develop that further now because of time. And then last of all, this victory is by faith. The victory is on faith and the victory is by faith. Which is actually the main thing I was driving at. So that in the midst of circumstances, you hold on the word of God. Last time, and that let us remember God, if you are listening to this on the recorded medium, last one was let us remember God, the last message. I introduced the fact that victory is by keeping the word of God up. Because of time, I'll leave it here today. But if God allows me, next time I'll continue from that point. That we keep the word of God up. So no matter what comes, we stand and say, God, this is what you said. I will believe this till I die. I like the way those boys said it. The Lord our God is able to deliver us. Listen to this. Even if he doesn't deliver us, he's still able. I don't know whether I get my point. No, catch it, catch it. It's clear. They said clearly, the Lord our God is able to deliver us. That's the God we serve. I will still burn you, even if you succeed in burning us. It has not reduced from his ability. Did you catch that level of faith?
Yes, sir.
That even when we are born, we'll still be worshiping the God that can deliver from fire. Why didn't he deliver you? I have money to give my children. It's not every time they ask, they get it. Do you follow my point?
Yes, sir.
My son comes and says, Daddy, please, can I have 100,000? I'm going to look at you. For what? And that's what I'm going to say. For what? If Abidi is laughing like, how can I ask for that kind of thing? He's thinking, what will I say I'm thinking? If I don't give him, has he reduced from my ability to hand out the 100,000? He can be standing there, somebody else will come. Pastor, we need to see what's going on. Look at this man, look at this matter. We have to pay this money now. We have been able to raise 50,000. They say everything is 150. And I say, hey, yeah, who do I send it to? I wire the money. And will he be looking at me and say, what? You have that kind of money? No. He will just realize that they have a serious matter. My own is not important. And he walk away and will he be angry? Daddy is unfair. Daddy loves other people more than he loves his own children. What kind of daddy is he? He doesn't exist. He's not a daddy indeed. That wouldn't cross his mind. He just look like, one day I'll get my own 100K from him. Don't worry, just tell his brother. Don't worry. When we need it, we'll get it. Don't worry. That's all. There's no animosity. There's no anger. He gave other people. He didn't give us. What kind of daddy is it? Nothing like that. Just walk away. So if he doesn't deliver us, he can deliver still. We'll get to heaven and still worship the God, the deliverer. We'll be there and be singing songs. He's a miracle working God. But it didn't work for you. It doesn't matter. He's still a miracle working God. You will not undermine my faith because of my own experience. If I believe God for healing, and I don't get healed,
and I die, the last message I will preach is the healing God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I think I can stop it here. I'll finish this next time. What we're going to do is just lift up the word of God. Listen, in the midst of all circumstances, we will lift up the word that he has given. Everybody, let's recite this together. Psalm 23. Are you there? Open to your Bible to it. I want us to use the same version of the scriptures just to lift this one up before the Lord. Psalm number 23. Are you there? Let's all read from the New American Standard. 1-2, let's go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Everybody say after me,
surely,
goodness,
loving kindness,
they will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell nowhere else. I'm not leaving the house of the Lord. I am not leaving faith. I will never abandon my faith. Say, no matter what may come my way,
Jesus is my Lord.
No matter what may come my way,
my Jesus is alive forever.
I declare it loud.
I have been forgiven.
I am a child of God.
I was born for a purpose.
The purpose of God in my life,
I will fulfill.
Say that again. The purpose of God in my life,
I will fulfill.
Say, in the name of Jesus,
I'm a soldier
in the army of God.
I can endure hardship.
In the name of Jesus,
I'm a soldier
in the army of the Lord.
Say, I've laid my body down
on the altar.
I've committed my life to him.
And I will not turn back.
Say, my hands are on the plow.
I will not look back.
I have committed my life to him.
I will not turn back.
My hands are on the plow.
I will not look back.
Say, the Lord my God
is able to deliver me.
And he will deliver me.
And even though he doesn't deliver me,
he remains my God.
He remains my God forever.
Say it again. The Lord my God
is a God of ability.
Is a deliverer.
The Lord my God
will deliver me.
Even if he doesn't deliver me,
I will serve him till I die.
Say, I will serve him till I die.
I will serve him forevermore.
Say, this is my faith.
Say, this is my faith.
He is my Lord.
And God,
the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ,
is my Father.
Give him thanks this evening. Say, Lord, I give you praise. I give you thanks.